Welcome to Silence the Mind Cluck. I'm your host, Maria T. Finch, and I'm super glad that you're here. Get ready to quiet that mind and reap the rewards. Everybody, welcome. I'm Maria Finch. This is the Silence the Mind Cluck podcast, and I am thrilled today to have Claire Davis with me. Claire, welcome.
Hello, Maria. How are you? Thank you for having me.
I'm great. How are you?
I'm very, very well, thank you.
All right, wonderful. Well, so to start out with, tell us a bit about you.
Well, do you recognize my accent, Maria? Do you know?
Yes, of course I do.
Where is it from?
I think that you're in Great Britain, right?
I live in Great Britain, but my accent isn't fully English.
Oh, okay.
So I live in a place in England called Bristol, which is an hour and a half west of London. But okay. I actually grew up in Sydney.
Oh, you did? Oh, wow. Okay. I didn't catch the Australian twang in there. So, yeah. Okay.
Well, it has softened because I've been here since 1995. But when I do speak to Australians, and I met an Australian last week, actually, she said I've just slipped straight back into the Australian accent when I was talking to her.
That makes sense.
Well, I sound English. So, yeah. So I've been living here since 1995. And what I do is I work with corporates, mainly managers, and I work with managers on helping them with their management skills, but also I help them with their mental health skills. And there's a big, big reason why. And the big reason is I got into management, like most of us do, because I was good at my job. Uh-huh. And so many of us do. And then what we find out is that the management skills are completely different to what my technical skills were.
Yes.
So it was really tough in those days. We weren't trained. We weren't helped at all. Everything was go, 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 go. It was all about targets, targets, targets. And I burnt out. Nobody looked after us. I worked really, really long hours. I was exhausted emotionally and physically. And I was going all over the place. So what I love to do is help people in that situation, because so often we're on this treadmill, we don't stop.
Yeah.
And what we want to do is realize that, you know, we do need to live life as well as work.
That's so important. And I love that you're doing this training with managers, because I know in my own professional career before I became an entrepreneur, I had a number of really terrible managers. And the truth is, just like you said, like, they were good at their job, so they got promoted up to management, and they had zero ability to be effective managers. So what a wonderful service you're doing, not only for the managers, but for everybody that reports to them.
and this is so important, because if we can get our mental health helping our teams right, it just helps people enjoy their lives so much more and their work so much more. And you've just hit the nail on the head there, Maria, and that is the fact that actually 75% of people leave their manager, not the role or the company itself.
Yeah. So that, I am not surprised by that statistic at all.
Yeah, and we need to be looking after people. We need to look after people on all levels. And if the managers are looked after, they're going to look after their team. And if the managers are looked after, the leaders are going to actually really, really help them as well. So it's all areas. And management's tough, because you've got to answer to leadership and you've got to answer to your team.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've got to become, I mean, I believe that some people have this naturally, where they have like a natural empathy and a natural ability to understand people. And for some people, they do not have that, but you really need that skill if you're going to be an effective manager.
Definitely, definitely. It's so, so important.
Yeah.
So I just love helping people. And I realized, when I was first in management, that life's too short and we need to learn to really calm our mind down and look after ourselves for us to be effective in the workplace, but also to be effective with our families.
Yeah.
Because why are we working at the end of the day?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So when you hit burnout yourself, what was going on in your mind?
I don't think a lot was going on, Maria. And I think the reason is because I was just exhausted. I was physically and emotionally exhausted. I remember walking in on a Monday morning to work with a migraine. Every Monday I got that migraine.
Yeah.
Or Sunday night. And I would be dragging my heels, going from the tube, saying, smile, be positive, be happy. You can get through this. You can get through this. Just smile. If you smile, it's going to be so much easier. Be positive, be happy. And I got so much to rock bottom that I didn't realize. My mind was just, it was just, there was nothing there. And I just, every spare moment I slept, I would fall asleep everywhere. I would just be asleep. I wouldn't be present with people. I wouldn't be engaged with people. And I was just so much at rock bottom.
That is really interesting. So it wasn't like your brain was telling you, you know, you're not good enough. You can't do this well enough. It was really just like your brain just checked out and you're like, yeah. I can't even think anymore.
Definitely. And I do think there was a little bit of my brain saying you're not good enough because we had targets, mm-hmm. so many targets. But I was just so exhausted thinking about targets all the time, targets, management meetings. We used to have meeting after meeting after meeting, but we had a meeting for the sake of having a meeting.
Really. Right. Yeah.
And then I'd go back to my team. We had changes occurring all the time, change after change after change. I didn't really understand my emotions. Mm-hmm. And I think for us to calm our mind, we really need to understand our emotions.
I agree. Yeah. Yeah. So what was your process then to get out of that point of burnout and start to feel better?
I think there's, you know, looking back, it was quite a long time ago. And I think when you say what was your process, I think our process is developing all the time.
Oh, absolutely.
And I look back and I think now, I wish I'd known that then, what I know now. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I'm doing now, which I think is probably the most powerful experience I've ever had, is both my husband and I are having coaching mm-hmm. with a lady who coaches on emotional intelligence. Now, uh-huh. I do a lot of training on communication. I get communication. I get behavioral styles, etc. But mm-hmm. there's a higher level, which is actually really understanding your emotions in different mm-hmm. situations, really what triggers you. Mm-hmm. So much of this boils down to your childhood.
Yes.
And yeah. your relationships in your childhood. And, you know, you can read about all of this. You can look at all the theory, but this is very, very practical transformational coaching, mm-hmm. which really goes into situations of getting that. So I think one thing that I wish I had known then to get out of it was really understanding my emotions. So I got out of burnout without it, but I think it would have fast-tracked if I'd really got my emotions.
Yeah, it does. So for someone who's listening and who is thinking, you know what, I'm really not in tune with my emotions, where would you recommend that they begin?
I think the first thing to do is to recognize different situations and mm-hmm. think about how did I react in that situation?
Yes.
And with how did I react, why did I react like that? What was my emotion, and how could I have responded in a different way? So the how, the why, and what could I have done differently?
Yeah, I think so often one thing that people need to first do is actually even recognize that they're having an emotion, because I think people can be so much on automatic pilot that they don't even realize that. You know when you react. And one of the things that really helps is to tune into this physically. So maybe your stomach clenches, maybe you get a headache, maybe you feel rage, you know, whatever. But first to actually be like, oh, wait a minute, I've got a really strong feeling going on right here. And then you start to unpack the feeling and say, okay, well, what's behind that? And and all of the things that you were saying. And I think that it can take a while to start to see patterns. So you might have to go through a similar experience multiple times before you're like, oh, look at that. Every time my boss does this, I feel like this and I react like this. And then you start to be able to be like, oh, wait a minute. Okay, what's underneath there?
That is so, so true. So it's what are your triggers? Why are you triggered? And something that I've realized recently, and when I was burnt out, I was like this constantly, is my tension, my biggest tensions come when I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
When I'm tired. Yeah. So now I spot those signs. I realize when I'm tired. I know the days of the week that I'm the tiredest, and I make sure I get rest. Our self-care is so, so important. So yeah. That's another wish I'd known then. So I was exhausted. I was sleeping nonstop, but I didn't realize the emotions around why I was exhausted.
Right. So you just keep going to the same pattern.
Yes. So it's breaking out of that pattern. So what I did to break out of the pattern at the time was I left that role, moved to another company that I knew the right role. It was toxic there. It wasn't the culture that I needed to be in. It wasn't the environment. The upper level managers weren't right for me. So one thing I would say with burnout is for anyone to really evaluate, why is this burnout happening?
Yeah.
What are my triggers? What's going on? And that can happen in anything in life when we've got that mind clock going.
Absolutely.
What's going on and how can I remove myself from that? So for me, you know, if ever I'm feeling exhausted, I make sure I rest now. That's a big trigger for me. I make sure I don't go to the sugars.
Yes.
And when I go to the sugars, then I sleep worse.
Uh-huh.
So it's making sure I do something to distract me from those sugars, but that I'm resting and that I'm not building up my emotions more and more.
What are your distractions from the sugars? I love that you call them the sugars. So for everyone listening, that is any kind of food, that's alcohol, you know, so like keep in mind that lots of things become sugar. So what are some distractions that are effective for you?
It's not just alcohol, actually, for me, the sugars. It's eating lots of sweets, eating lots of carbs, anything that tries to give me energy.
Yeah.
So what my distractions are. So for me, a Thursday evening, I'm the most exhausted. Okay. And that's when I am exhausted. I just want to sleep. And that's when I get a bit tetchy. My emotions are a bit over the place. And that's when I go to sugars. And I try to eat anything that I can. So my distractions are, first of all, to recognize it.
Yes.
If I go, hey, this is what's going on, Claire, stop. So I've got to tell myself to stop. Uh-huh. Another way is that I will watch television, which I don't often do, or I will go for a walk. Or I will get into a conversation with my husband, and I also make sure I have a good lunch on a Thursday. So I'm craving it, craving those sugars, definitely.
Yeah, I think one of the things that goes along with this is when you're talking about, you know you're going to be exhausted on that day and making sure you get enough rest. It's also about like really listening to your body signals during the day. So when your body says, I'm hungry, like at least have a snack or take a drink of water, or, you know, or you like you feel like your head's going to explode when you're looking at a computer or sitting in a meeting, then go walk around the block, break up your day so that hopefully when you get to the end of the day, you're less depleted than you would be otherwise. But yeah.
Self-care. And, you know, something else that I believe that works really well for me is having those breaks in the day. Mm-hmm. So for me, I do exercise snacking. Uh-huh. So it is in my breaks. I don't just sit there. I will go for a quick walk in the garden, or I will do some jumping jacks, or I will, when the kettle is on, I will do some stretches in the kitchen.
Uh-huh.
So it's exercise snacking is great on those days as well, just to give you that boost of energy.
Yeah.
But just also realizing that there's nothing wrong with having breaks. There is nothing wrong.
Yeah. I think our society can really suggest that you just need to go, go, go. And the truth is we all do better if we take breaks. And I mean, like I'm very driven. And so I literally will set alarms and be like, okay, walk away, you know, do something else. Because if I don't, I'll look up 4 hours later and be like, oh my goodness.
I know. Definitely.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. So tell us other techniques that you use for silencing your mind clock. I know you have a lot of them.
I do have a lot of techniques, and I think that's very, very key for us to understand that we do need to use a lot of techniques to silence our mind clock. And funnily enough, can you just hear my son playing the piano in the background?
I actually can't, but if I could, that would be lovely.
Right. So that's one thing I just want to say to all the listeners out there. He's silencing his mind. What he does is he goes and twiddles on the piano. I did tell him that I was recording.
That's okay.
But he's right in there. So that's one thing that can help, is to have a distraction where you're doing something that's creative. And so he plays the piano, and something that I do creative to silence my mind is I will do some knitting, some crocheting. I love baking. I find that really creative. I love drawing, doodling, crafty things as well. So that's really good to silence our mind. And I know a lot of people are into things like what is it called, where you're doing all the scrapbooking, your pictures and things like that. Doesn't have to be drawing. We don't have to be the best artists for this. I've got, actually, on my wall in the kitchen, I've got a big mural for colouring in.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
So creativity is brilliant.
Yeah. Can I just add really quick for everybody listening, creativity can mean all kinds of things. So it's like trying a new recipe. You could be creative in how you wash your car. You could be creative in fixing something, in putting up a decoration for a holiday or whatever. So don't think creativity means you have to be an artist. It absolutely does not. You could be creative. You could write a poem. You could write a song. There's all kinds of different ways to tap into your creativity. And I always like to say that, because I think that people hear creativity and they think, well, I'm not an artist.
Well, that's why I said baking.
Yeah.
For me, I tried a new recipe on the weekend, and I just love that 10 minutes of, you know, being in the zone and stirring it and all of that. So, you know, I love that side of creativity as well. So
absolutely.
Working out what works for us, what is creativity for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, and what were you going to say next? I'm sorry, I cut you off.
Well, for me, there's another term that I use, which is called top-ups.
Okay.
So what are my top-ups to help me? So I mentioned the exercise snacking earlier. Uh-huh. So that's part of your top-ups. But top-ups don't have to be, you know, not all of us are people who love running a marathon or doing exercise every day. I do. I love my yoga. I do my yoga and my meditation every day, and I go for a walk with my dog. So that's what I do every day. That's my routine. So it's having a morning ritual as well. Yeah. So I get up. My ritual is have a glass of water, do my yoga with my meditation, then go for a walk with the dog, then I'm set for the day.
Nice.
In my walk for the dog with the dog, I get to play with my dog. I get to have me time. I get to have focus time because I think about my day ahead. You know, I get to meet other dog walkers, so that's my social time. So it's bringing all of that into that as well. Top-ups is slightly different, and top-ups are similar to your exercise snacking, but it's what can I do a little bit of just to top me up every day. So examples are, I will go out into the garden, take my shoes off, and just walk on the grass.
Oh, nice.
So that's one of my favorite top-ups. Another top-up is I will get out in the garden, I'll hit the tennis ball with the kids, or I'll bounce the tennis ball on my tennis racket. You know, just things like that. Play a bit of table tennis. Top-ups. Laughter is a big top-up.
Yeah.
So I don't really watch the news because I find it a bit depressing. Really.
Yes.
I prefer to watch something on telly that will make me laugh. That's a great, great top-up. You know, other top-ups, doing things like a jigsaw puzzle, going on an adventure with your kids. There's a fantastic game that we play, which is heads or tails. So we go on a walk, heads, we turn left, tails, we turn right.
Oh, cool.
So things like that. So lots of little top-ups. What can I do? It's not going to take long. that, you know, I have a cup of tea in the conservatory. I go in there on my own, get away from everywhere, just drink a cup of tea. And with top ups, what I find, now you can hear my dog.
It's okay.
The biggest parts of my life as well. But with top ups, it's really being present. And I find if I am present in whatever activity I'm doing, whether it be work when I've got to hit these deadlines, present when I'm playing with my dog that you can hear, present when I'm talking to my son or baking, that really just helped me calm my mind.
It's so true. It's so true. And you can be, if you try to focus on being present, you can be present while you're washing a dish. You know, like it doesn't have to be something specific. Like all you can do is just bring presence of mind to whatever you're doing in the moment. And that will definitely quiet your mind. It's so effective. And it's a good way. So like if you're sitting and you're worrying about something, get up, do something else and really focus on it. And your mind will just shut down.
Definitely. And it's funny because I went through a stage in my life, and it was after the burnout, but it was after I'd had my kids, where my mind was all over the place. And I had a friend who said to me, "You've got to learn to meditate." And I thought, well, who's got time to meditate? Really? I've got 1,000 things to do at once. And I was brought up with my dad, who was a workaholic and did 1,000 things at once. And if we were seen to relax, we were seen to be lazy. But, you know, meditation is one of the most powerful things to quiet your mind.
Yeah.
And it only, and so when I walk my dog, I do a form of meditation. Uh-huh. And that is just, I'm not lying there, I'm not sitting down, I'm just meditating and focusing on, I'm going to walk to that tree and I'm going to think about getting to that tree. And that's a form of meditation.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's so great for people to realize that you don't have to be sitting in the lotus position with your, you know, with your, you can meditate in all kinds of different ways.
You can. And it's so, so powerful to calm that mind down. And another form of meditation that I do is, and being present, is I write a gratitude diary every night. So I write down what I'm grateful for. And that's a form of meditation because everything else is blocked out.
Yeah.
And I'm focusing on what I'm writing.
And how do you approach that? I mean, I've heard from so many people about writing in a gratitude diary, and everyone looks at it a slightly different way. So, you know, because you could think like, well, I could be writing for hours, you know, so if you're doing it at the end of the day, like what are your parameters for yourself?
Yeah. So for me, what I do is I do it when I'm in bed. I've got my diary next to my bed. I do it every single day. And I just do bullet point. What has made me happy?
On that day.
So it could even be that my 13-year-old gave me a big hug.
Uh-huh.
It could be that I've had my nails done. Uh-huh. It could be that I've walked in the garden.
Yeah.
What's made me happy?
That's so nice. And what a nice thing to do right before you go to sleep, because it puts your mind on like, oh, I've had a good day. Even if you've had a stressful day or whatever, you can be like, oh, look at all these nice things in my day.
Definitely, for sure. Yeah,
I really like that. All right, what else? I know that you have, well, so first of all, for our audience, as I've said many times, there are a bazillion ways that you can silence mind cluck. And what I think is really fun with all of our guests is to find out, like, what are the unique things that they do? Because everybody has to try things on and figure out what works best for them.
Definitely. So, Something that I say to my clients all the time when we talk about self-care and emotional fitness. Emotional fitness is my thing that I say. If we want to get physically fit, we exercise and we eat well.
Yep.
What we haven't been told enough about is to get emotionally fit, we do need to do exercises to silence our mind, to help our mind think positively, to move from our amygdala to our prefrontal cortex.
Yes.
So we're in a positive way. So emotional fitness is absolutely key. So I've actually written a book called Emotional Fitness, A to Z for Positive Mental Health. And it's not a theory book because I'm not a theorist. I'm a very practical person. what it is helping people do exercises every single day to help them get emotionally fit.
Oh, that's so great.
What we do every day. So a good example of that is, for me, I love water. I find water really calms me down and helps me silence my mind. So for me, I will go for a swim, or I will stand in the shower for an extra minute and just meditate, a form of meditating in the shower, being present with that water and really feel that water. And it only needs to be an extra minute.
Yeah. The other thing that comes to mind when you talk about water, this is something I do often, and this may be a little out there for some people, but especially when you're in the shower, if you close your eyes, you can imagine being in the womb.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, that's sort of like our ultimate place of safety and comfort and silence. And, you know, so next time you're in the shower, try closing your eyes and just think about being in the womb in a beautiful, safe place. Yeah.
I've always closed my eyes, but not thought about being in the womb. So that's going to be the next thing.
Yeah. Give it a try.
So in my book, I've got lots and lots of tips on that. And the A to Z is, I explain all the science and why it's important for our emotional fitness. I give examples, and then it's activities. It's for people to bring emotional fitness into their life every day, because we are the only ones who can help ourselves. So if we're feeling a bit of anxious about something, what can we do? Breathing techniques are so powerful. When I walk my dog, I do breathing techniques as well. You know, I've got such a little routine going. I don't do everything every day, but I do go for a walk every day. So some days I might do breathing, other days I'll focus on the tree, other days I'll chat more to people. It's all bringing emotional fitness and positivity into our lives,
right? And also going back to what you said earlier about being present, so it's like any one of those that you just described, they're all about being present in that moment. Can you give us one more example of an exercise that somebody can try?
One of my favorites, and I don't do it enough, Maria, and I've got to do it more, but when I do it, I laugh and laugh, and that is putting on loud music in the kitchen. Thank goodness for Alexa and all of these gadgets And while I am cooking, or while I'm in the kitchen having a cup of tea, just having loud music and having a bit of a dance in the kitchen.
That's so good. And for people who aren't dancers, like, if you like music, just blast it. There's something you get energy from that, and it can make you laugh. Like, there are songs that I listen to that make me laugh, because maybe I'll be trying to say the lyrics and they're hard to say and I'll laugh at that, or, you know, whatever. Like, there's all kinds of ways to use music to really, like, it's also music, I think, is such a great top up.
Well, funnily enough, I went to a fantastic party the other night and I was dancing and someone videoed me, and I have just laughed and laughed at watching myself on video dance.
That's great.
Very, very funny. I won't show any of the listeners out there. Don't you worry.
We'd all love to see it. You got to post that on YouTube. Oh my gosh. Well, we have gone through our time so quickly, but I wanted to give you an opportunity. Is there any last advice you'd like to give our audience, or anything else you'd like to mention before we sign off?
I think my biggest advice is to really be aware, self-awareness. If we are aware that our mind is all over the place, we might be reaching burnout, or we might have too much on. Self-awareness and spotting those signs and really working out what our own personal triggers are.
Yeah, absolutely. That is such sage advice. Thank you for that. So for everyone, we will have links in the show notes to get Claire's book, and as well as ways to contact her, etc. So Claire, thank you so much for being on here today. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. And thank you to everybody who's listening or watching as well.
Yeah. All right, everyone. Thank you and have a wonderful day. Bye.
Take care.
You too.
Thank
Thanks for listening. If you found this content helpful, please like, comment, and share across your social media. Are you sick of mind clock clocking up your days? Book a free initial consult with me at mindcluck.com and let's silence it. Thanks and have a great week.